Thank you for choosing to listen to this talk by Pastor Eddie, designed to develop you. We appreciate your interest in your personal development. This talk can help you in many ways, so pay close attention to the underlying principles in this message. As you listen, think about how you can use this message as part of your development process for you and your circle of influence. The first commitment that Pastor Eddie has is to grow you, because if he can grow you, he can grow your circle of influence. Now let's join Pastor Eddie as he teaches this all-important topic.
House, we thank you for your spirit upon us. We thank you for that which you are doing through us to empower the next generation. We thank you because your truth is timeless. We thank you for your spirit is still at work today, still very much relevant. We thank you for calling us out of darkness into your marvelous light, for revealing that light to us. Father, we thank you for bringing us together as one family. We bless your holy name for giving us a sanctuary to call a spiritual home. We thank you. We bless your holy name, Lord, for covering our differences. Father, we thank you. We bless your name. We thank you. Lord, we commit this time of the world into your hands. Father, we ask, oh God, that you bless our hearing. Bless our hearts. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you all the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Help me welcome your neighbor to your right and to your left. Help me welcome them. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Help me appreciate, inspire as they take their seat. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You are blessed this wonderful Sunday. How many of you enjoyed that? You really loved that. Praise the Lord. Help me appreciate our workers. Amen. Help me appreciate the handlers of our junior church. Come on. You know. Go. God is faithful. Praise the Lord. Right there we see the spirit of the Lord upon. For me, I'm just blessed. I'm just blessed. For me, just sitting there and seeing the kids that were born 10 years ago, those who joined the church 10 years ago, they've become young adults, look at their preteens, seeing them preach to me. How many of you love that preacher? That preacher was there. The two preachers today, I'm the third preacher today, all right? We had Faye, the first service, we had Chimdi, we have myself. It's, you know, amazing. How many of you identify with the word of God that he preached? Amen. You know, it's amazing. So what you saw was the spirit of the Lord. He can use any vessel, and he can use you. The word of God does not change. It's a common denominator. You and I can trust it. We can rest on it. We can teach ourselves. We can embrace it. It has become the same, you know, so that's the reason why we call ourselves a family. We have the same value system. It's our value system that makes us one. Our value system makes us one. And I want to appeal to you today as I bring this service to a close, because we've been blessed. Amen. It's to solicit, like Jesus did, for your commitment to the kingdom of God. And it's something that is missing today. I want to ask of you that you commit to God and commit to the word of God. I want to take a cue from where we left off last week, where I said that at the end of the day, there is a mission. You know, we love Jesus, we love everything, we love to be Christians, but at the end of the day, there is a mission. A servant does not know what his master does, but Jesus said that I have chosen not to call you servants, because a servant has no clue, but I have chosen to call you friends. And as a friend of God, you know, there is a mission behind your salvation. The mission behind your salvation is that you grow your life based on the word of God. You make disciples of all nations. You live by the word. You raise your children by the word. You commit to the word. And the world will see that the word is making a difference in your life. There is an agenda. There is an agenda. We do not just gather for gathering's sake. No. We do not just come together for the fun of it. No. We do not just teach our children for the sake of it. No. We all do this because there is a higher agenda. And it's that agenda I'm asking you today to pay attention to commit to it, to choose it. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. Amen. And then you find that Jesus had the same challenge, the challenge of commitment. He had the same challenge in his time. I mean, the word of God never changes. I mean, just look at that. You know, men in those days, they stole their money, isn't it? The guy, the Good Samaritan message, he knocked the guy down and stole his wallet. All right, you know, now, if you knock a guy down now and you have to choose between the wallet and the iPhone, you take the iPhone. Is that not what they do these days, isn't it? Oh, they can't. When you walk around in the streets of London or anywhere, you know, you have to be careful. I saw a documentary. On Facebook or is it, on YouTube? You know, a guy had his hood on. He was on a phone and he was talking. And this bloke came from behind him, snatched the phone, and ran away. Halfway through, he saw it was a Nokia 3610. And the guy went, "What?" And he came back to the guy and said, what is this? What is this?" No offense to Nokia, okay? Please, no offense. Nobody should sue me. Okay. Many of you don't know who Nokia 3610 is. How many of you know what Nokia 3610 is? Yeah. You see how the... Exactly. And the guy came back and said, what is this? What is this? You call this a phone? I was harassing the guy. So the guy was apologizing for having a Nokia, not an iPhone. What are you doing on the street with a Nokia 3610? No offense. That's the only thing I remember. So if you have a Nokia 3610, please. You know, they used to say that, you know a man's personality by the phone he carries, isn't it? You know, so now, I don't know, these guys, people just, you know, toys now, everything, you see that? When you come out, you see ladies, the guys admire the phone. The ladies admire the cover. True. It's not just enough to have the phone, you know. So if it's the guy, you know, you look at the guy and say, what have you got? The guy brings out his iPhone and then flicks and says, and then shows out his Samsung. And so, yeah. Then look at his screen. What have you got? Bring the small screen, then he brings this brick out. And I say, my screen is bigger than your screen. You know, that's how the guys do, isn't it? You look at it, you see the guy on the photo. When a bloke does that, you know what it means? You bring your answer. I mean, those days, you know, when he used to show off phones, you see, when he knew that, remember when he flip? Oh, I like that one, you know. Oh, I remember when I had that, you know. I was a consultant. They were Motorola, is it? Or they went boss then. So when they check you and I say, what have you got? They bring yours out and flip. Oh, that's so cool, you know. And then you go there. You're not making any phone. And then they came out with iPhone. You see, and that just spoiled the market for everybody. So, anyway, where was I? So the bottom line is this. Church, there's something good going on here. And I want you to commit. If you like what you've seen here today, it means that you've just witnessed the Spirit of God across generations. So there is a mission, guys. There's a mission. And God needs you to commit to this mission. The mission of being born again, Spirit-filled, and making disciples of all nations by the way you live your life. It's as simple as that. You know, but Jesus had the same problem. Let's look at this Bible for a second today. Ah, praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Okay, let's look at Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And I'll be bringing this to a close very quickly. It says, from verse 25, large crowds, reading the NIV, if you can, large crowds were traveling with Jesus. And turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children, his brothers and sister, yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. First time I read that as a young Christian, I thought, that's so harsh. Do you mean I have to go and hate my father now? Hate my mother? No. I want to bring a few things out of this short verse we just read, and we'll close the service. You know, the word disciple was mentioned in the Bible over 200 times, and the word Christian was mentioned only about 3 to 5 times. Howbeit, they mean the same thing. My wife is my spouse, and my spouse is my wife. Right? Better half. My spouse is my husband, and my husband is my spouse. The same thing. Same difference. All right. Missed that point. Okay. So, it's the same thing. But over 200 times, the word disciple was used, and over 5 times, or about 2-3 times, the word Christians was used in the Bible. They mean the same thing. But hear this. A Christian is a disciple. And a disciple should be a Christian. So let's read that scripture again. Okay? Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother and his wife and children and his life, he cannot be a Christian. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be a Christian. You see, I want to bring a few things out. The very first thing I want to bring out is that Jesus was addressing a very large crowd here. He says there, from verse 25, large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus. Maybe if it was his time, if he was in 21st century now, maybe you would be in that crowd. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus when he made this statement. This statement sounds very harsh. This statement sounds very tough. But he was making this statement to people who have been traveling with him, like many of us have been traveling with him for years. You and I have been traveling with Jesus for years. And for the teenagers, your father and mother traveled with Jesus. Now they are getting you to travel with Jesus as well. He was addressing people who were familiar with him. He was addressing people who, to some extent, have spent 3 to 4 days camping out, not in a 5-star resort, but in a harsh wilderness. He was addressing his own people. Question, my friend, what was it that he saw in these people that made him speak to them in such a stern way? What did he see? Could he see the same way? Could he see you the same way today and address you sternly? He addressed them sternly. Bible says he was followed by a large crowd, and he looked at them. And you know something? He looked at them and then he realized that, you know what, there was so much positivity going on. And then they looked at him, they've been following him for a long while. They were eating and drinking, and the atmosphere was great. And just in case they are mistaking a great positive mental attitude, right, to what it means to be a disciple, he quickly addressed the matter. Church, he knew that many of them were following him because they needed their problem solved. He knew that many of them needed to be fed. He knew that many of them had their own personal agenda. And don't get me wrong. He's there to solve every single person's problem. But it still does not mean that there is no mission. The mission is not a problem-solving mission. Praise the Lord. So he addressed that very quickly. And he looked at them and addressed this large crowd, people who have been following him. And I'm sure he will also be addressing you this morning. And he will be saying, are you a disciple or are you not? The second thing that caught my attention in that verse was that the Bible says that turning to them, he said, if anyone. So he was not addressing the leaders. He was not addressing the pastors. He was not addressing the bishops, the apostles, the missionary workers. No, he was addressing everyone. If anyone wants to be my disciple, if anyone, you know, he wasn't addressing just a few sections. He didn't call a few people aside and spoke to them. No, he addressed every single one of them. There was no discrimination. The mission does not accommodate discrimination. No. Jesus was so focused on getting this mission right. And that mission is still on today. And that's the mission I'm also calling you to participate in. And I'm saying, my friend, make the word of God your value system and make disciples of all nations. There is a mission. That's why we come here. That's why we celebrate. There is a mission. There is a purpose. There's an agenda. There's an agenda. There's an agenda. And the agenda has nothing to do with personal gain. The agenda has nothing to do with personal gain. Esther said, if you look at the people in the Bible that God really poured his spirit into, many of them, one of Esther said, if I perish, I perish. This is not for personal gain. There is a bigger achievement. I'm telling you, my brothers, my sister, there is a bigger mission here other than your personal needs. There's a bigger mission. There's a bigger mission. The world is corrupt, and we need to raise godly seeds to turn that corruption around. And Jesus needs your commitment. He needs your commitment. What you saw there today is not just a gift. What we just witnessed, the ministration, the sketch, it's all the transfer of the Spirit of God reaching out to the next generation. And he's still calling. But he needs you to make a commitment. So he spoke to every single one of them. There are no special privileges. No. The same commitment required of me by the Lord is the same commitment required of you. You must live by the word. You must make disciples of all nations. That is what we are here to do, and we make no apologies as the kingdom of God about it. You see, and then so quickly he addressed it. As he's saying, just in case you think this is just funfair, let me, you know, like they say he threw down the gauntlet. Just you think this is an executive lifestyle, just in case you think that, we just tag along, because many of them went with the ride. Like many people still do today. We go with the flow. We go with the flow. And so many went with the flow. And the flow went with Jesus. But he turned around and looked at them. And addressed the crowd. And he addressed every single one of them. So he laid down the criteria. Very quickly. Oh. And he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children. And his brothers and sisters. Yes, even his own life, he cannot be a Christian. Whew. But you see, he's not saying that we should hate our parents and hate her. You know, in the Jewish culture, the word hate is just means lesser love. Well, that's what it means, lesser love. But what he was challenging is their commitment. I need you to commit. If you have to make a choice, I want that choice to be in my favor. Praise God. I need you to make a choice. And in nations, people make choices when it comes to their faith. You see it on CNN, you see the other day, someone was saying that, I was on TV, about a woman who was in they had to put her in a hotel because the government of a certain nation was after her. And they said she wasn't a dissident, she wasn't a political rival, but she was a Christian. There are people who get their houses burnt because they got saved. True. There are people whose parents kicked them out of the house because they got saved. How many of you know anybody like that? Or how many of you have heard such stories before? Exactly. Exactly. And that's what he's saying. If you have to choose, will you choose for me? That's what he's saying. So what he was contesting here, what he was challenging here, was their commitment. if you ever have to make a choice between me and any other thing, will you choose for me? That's what he was asking. So basically, he was drawing a distinction between emotional feelings and commitment. Emotions are not commitment. Emotion is not commitment. No. Emotion is not commitment. Emotion is not commitment. Praise the Lord. And that's what. And so what he's saying is that I don't just want you to be emotionally connected with me. No, I need your commitment. Don't connect with me emotionally like many people do. Oh, and then we sing the worship song, and then we go, oh, I feel the presence. No, 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 no. This is not about feelings. No, 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 no. When it comes to choosing between A and B, if A is mine, will you choose for me? That's commitment. That's commitment. Praise the Lord. That's commitment. Anybody can be emotional. You can hear a song and go, oh, that's so sweet. That's emotion. That's emotion. The moment you leave here, you just Monday morning, when wake you, when your alarm goes up by 6 o'clock in the morning to go to work, will you still be doing, no, 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 you jump out of bed, you even pray. True. Emotions and commitment are two different things. So that is what he was contesting here. He wanted to ginger their mind and make them see that, hey, I'm here for serious business. I want you to choose for me. Praise the Lord. Will you choose for Jesus? Okay, maybe you were not made homeless because you got saved. But every day, you have the opportunity to make a decision based on the word or based on the world. Which one will you choose? Every day, you will face a decision whether to choose for the word of God that you know or choose what the world has to offer. That's what he's saying. I need your commitment. He says, so you must be ready to hate your father, your mother. He said, and even yourself. Even yourself. At two levels. Even your physical self. If you have to choose between prayers and not praying, which one will you go for? If you have to choose between fasting and praying and then having that burger, which one will you go for? That's what he's saying. Anybody can be emotional. Ah, anybody can be emotional. Anybody. You know, I was saying in the first service that you go, I used to know a group of, when we were growing up, you have some friends, you know. I used to have this particular friend, you know, everybody's there, I love you. He said, this one, hey, you know, I love you. Then he said, another person, oh, I love you. Oh, yeah, oh, I love you, you know. And the guy has so many I love yous all around. And you say, so how many of you can't love two people more than one? How do you love two or three people at the same time? Yeah. And there was this particular guy. When we were in school, okay, there's nothing wrong about having, you know, female companions. I mean, you know, but today he said, we're not sure whether are you with Sister Jane or are you with Sister Beatrice or are you with Sister Liz? Everybody is just seem to have his finger in every pie, you know. And so we're not sure. He was emotionally connected to everybody. But his commitment was zero. Because at the end of the day, he didn't marry any of them. Broke all the sisters' heart. Guy went around the campus with a knife in his hand. He said, take this one. You know, how many of you have been there before? You know, everybody thought he was going to marry this girl. Everybody, you know, I've seen so many of them. You see that one particular one. Every time you go to the cafeteria in school, he's always with one sister or the other. He won't do unless he won't let any other person come. Progress. It will let the other person progress, and because he's always there, you can't wait. Your number. You can't go. You can't go close. And so today is one. It's like he will buy this. But the guy can. His sweet mouth. All of them they like him. You know. And I was like, you see the one. Next time is this one too. Is it the one? At the end of the day, he didn't marry any of them. Emotional commitment, emotional attachment without commitment. So please, young ladies, if you are dating a guy, and it's past 18 months, please ask. Abisai, it's not true. If we were here, we won't ask where it's going. Even Jesus asked where it's going. Where is it going to? First year, he said, "Oh yes, we are cutting, we are cutting, we are cutting." Second year, we are cutting. Third year, is he a degree? You won't ask. You won't ask. You won't ask. Please help me ask them. Ask them. Because you are not here for degree, BA courtship. If it's BA courtship, we send you to school and go and learn BA courtship. We'll give you a certificate. If I'm going to give you a certificate, I say, what's the problem? What is wrong? So you call my brother. So. Don't wait. Do not wait. So over the is it on your agenda or how are we doing this thing? Because it can be emotionally connected but never commit. Can be emotionally connected and then string you along for a long time. After 5 years. See, Rory McIlroy. Number one golfer in the world. Strings that girl along for a long time. If we even got to the point, emotional connection, got to the point, gave invite out. All of you, come, I'm getting married. Everybody said, Rory is getting married. 24 hours to go. Couldn't commit. Put the plug. So Jesus saw this thing. Don't use our relationship to massage yourself every time you miss the cut in a golf game or you can't score. Don't use, I'm not your therapist. Don't do therapy. Don't be anybody's therapist. That's what Jesus was saying. I'm not here. I'm the Lord and Master. I'm not your therapist. I have a job to do here. Sacrifice something. Put something on the table. Make a choice. So that was the distinction. He didn't say go and hate your father or God. He said even yourself, hate yourself. Anything that stands in your way, will you choose for Jesus? Will you choose for Jesus? That's what he's saying. Praise the Lord. And he said something. And anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be a Christian. So he talks about the cross. He addressed a large number of people. He addressed every one of them. He asked them to make the commitment. And then he talked about the cross. In those days, there is what is known as the Roman cross. When the Roman judges a matter and it's against you, and you are sentenced, and they are sentenced to death, they give them the cross. So that cross wasn't just for Jesus. It's the cross the Romans give to any criminal after judgment, if they are sentenced to death. So any criminal who has been sentenced to death and is given the Roman cross to carry, there is no returning. There is no going back. There is no mercy. There is no mercy. There is no leniency. So once they carry and they give them that cross and they make them take that cross throughout their town and streets as an example and a deterrent to other people. So it's they humiliate them first before they hang them. And they humiliate them to send a signal to anyone who is thinking about committing that same offense. That's why they took Jesus through the Via della Rosa, the streets, and the 14 stops where he fell, carrying that heavy cross. So Jesus was telling them that to follow me is like carrying your own cross. when you carry that cross, the Roman cross, there is no going back. Everyone knows that when you get to that hill, you are not returning home. So they make them go through the streets saying bye-bye to their friends. And they carry that cross on their shoulders. And I say, bye-bye to my friends. I say, oh, I won't see you again, you know. Oh, bye-bye. Oh, bye-bye. Oh, see you. Oh, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Nobody ever carries that cross and returns. It's not possible. So he says, if you want to be my disciple, you must learn to say bye-bye to some things. You must learn to say bye-bye to so many things. You must learn, above all, to say bye-bye to some people. People. They carry that cross and say, bye-bye. We will never hang out again. Bye-bye. This is it. Yes, I've been found guilty. Maybe he did this. Maybe he didn't. It's irrelevant. I have the cross now. I have the cross on my shoulder. And so I'm not returning. So the cross, the Roman cross, is a symbol of no return. And he's saying, this is what I want you to become as my disciple. And if you are not ready to kiss goodbye to some choices, habits, friends, he said, you can't be a disciple. You can't be a Christian. Forget what the image of Hollywood. Forget that thing. Forget Steven Spielberg. Forget it. Forget what you see on TV about image of Christianity and Christianity. Oh, it's a tough ride, my friend. It's a tough ride. It's a faith where we make choices every single day, and you will make one tomorrow. You will choose tomorrow whether that pen will follow you home or whether that post-it pad should stay in the office. You will see it tomorrow when... I'm laughing. You will see it tomorrow when temperature drops, right? And you are deciding, should I go or shouldn't I? Oh, you will see it tomorrow or when temperature rises to 25 degrees. And you think, oh my goodness, this work. Hello. Now you can't say because there's no flu in town. Itching. Is it hay fever? Every time. That's what he's saying. Every time. So who is going to tell lies tomorrow? Who will steal tomorrow? Who will say what they do not mean tomorrow? Who will take illegal holidays tomorrow? Who will take illegal sick leave tomorrow? Who will connive with their GP tomorrow? Who will sign off stress when he's not stressed tomorrow? Who will lie tomorrow? Is it you? Who will be fraudulent tomorrow? Is it you? That is what he's saying. Who will be something at home and something at work tomorrow? Who will have multiple personalities tomorrow? That's what he's saying. He's saying, I do not want you to mistake my niceties to a lack of seriousness. I know the kind of people I'm looking for. I want people who will choose to run this mission with me. That's what he's saying. Rise to your feet and let us pray.
Thank you for joining us for today's talk. Now just think, through Pastor Eddie's Building Your Future coaching and mentoring agency, you can experience these lessons monthly, packed with quotations, thought-provoking illustrations and stories, all usable in your personal development program. Visit us at www.byf.org.uk to join Building Your Future, which sets the leadership standard for ministry and marketplace. Pastor Eddie treasures the opportunity to be your personal mentor each month, all year long. Thank you again for joining us for this talk. We look forward to you joining Building Your Future as part of your personal growth program in becoming the best you can possibly be.